Good morning and welcome to Redeemer. We're glad you have braved the weather out there, and it was nice we baptized you anew on the way in. But anyway, you can hear it's really coming down out there right now. But we're dry and safe in here, and wonderful. So we do welcome you. For those of you at home, I will remind you that we will be having Holy Communion during this worship service, and you're invited at home to get your elements ready there to take communion as our congregation who've gathered here takes communion. I will remind you, everybody's coming up this aisle. You'll see ways to socially distance yourselves in the aisle there with the blue X's. You get the bread from me and then step aside and lift your mask and eat the bread and then get the cup and then step aside and drink the cup. Put your empty in the gold receptacle. There's one on each side. So we'll work it from there. Don't forget our Vespers service this Wednesday. We have Wednesday Vespers at 7 o'clock, but that is online only. So please join us online for that service. Also, we're approaching All Saints Sunday, which is the first Sunday in November. And we always invite you, if you have names of family or friends who have died since last November 1st, that you would like to be remembered in this service, please submit their names to the church office. And Vicar Amanda, I think it's your turn.
All right. So as we're continuing to open things up and work towards meeting together, our 6th through 12th graders will meet together this Monday, so that's tomorrow, at 7 p.m. I don't know what the weather was going to do. We were going to do some stuff outside, but it might be in the fellowship hall. But we'll have fun regardless of wherever we play games. But lots of community, lots of games. So if you have a 6th through 12th grader that would like to join us, please join in back in the fellowship hall. Wear your masks. Stay home if you feel bad, stuff like that. Also, for 2-year-olds through 6th grade, we have Faith Launch that has taken off. And that's our Sunday school program. And we're doing it virtually. So we have a Faith Launch table out there in the narthex with all sorts of bags for the kiddos. Right now I have their names on them for them to pick up, but if you have a grandchild or niece or nephew that would like to participate in virtual Sunday school, please let me know, and I would be happy to make them a bag and get them that information as well. I think I'm done.
Okay.
All
thank
right.
you.
You're welcome.
Let us prepare for our worship with our brief order for confession and forgiveness. Please rise as you are able. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God who creates, redeems, and sustains us and all of creation. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Faithful God, have mercy on us. We confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We turn from your loving embrace and go our own ways. We pass judgment on one another before examining ourselves. We place our own needs before those of our neighbors. We keep your gift of salvation to ourselves. Make us humble, cast away our transgressions, and turn us again to life in you, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. God hears the cries of all who call out in need, and through his death and resurrection, Christ has made us his own. Hear the truth that God proclaims. Your sins are forgiven in the name of Jesus Christ. Led by the Holy Spirit, live in freedom and newness to do God's work in the world. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord of the feast, you have prepared a table before all peoples and poured out your life with abundance. Call us again to your banquet. Strengthen us by what is honorable, just, and pure, and transform us into a people of righteousness and peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated, and would the children please come up? Good to see y'all, and good to see our children who we might have at home too. And look what I brought today. It is a whole big box of crayons. I'll let those at home see them. And it's all kind of colors. Y'all know your colors yet? Yeah, you know some colors. But I was looking at this box of crayons, and I was wondering if there were some crayons in here that we might not want anymore. For example, look at this one right here. Can't even pick it up. It's all broken, and it doesn't look right. And here's another, that's just a little small piece. How are we going to color with something that small? No, I like a big crayon like this, don't y'all? Well, can't even hold it. There's another big crayon. Yeah, let's see. What about that? What else is in here? Oh, look at this one. This one's broken. You see that? What are we supposed to do with a broken crayon? That's not going to work. We can't put that in here. And, oh, there's another broken one. Look. What color is that? Okay, kind of a blue, kind of a green, kind of. They all think it's blue? Pastor Gary's eyes aren't always so good about color. And here's another broken crayon. Oh, there's, I bet you don't know what color that one is. You think that's yellow? It looks purple to me. No, I'm just kidding. That's yellow. You're right. You're right. I was just kidding. But we got crayons. There's some crayons in here that are perfectly good, like this one. This one, I don't even think this one's been used before. And it's pink. In fact, the real name of this one's called Thistle. I don't even know what that is. But it hadn't even been used at all. So this is a brand new crayon. But then we got some crayons like this that aren't any good anymore. And we could just throw these away, shouldn't we? No, we're not going to throw them away. No, because you know what? You can still color with these. They're still good. And you know what? I like all crayons. Every single crayon. I like the new ones that hadn't even been used, and I like the broken ones, and the yellow ones, and the ones that I can't tell what color they are, and all that. They're all good crayons. And that reminds me of something that we're going to learn about in just a few minutes. Jesus tells a story, and you know what he says? He says, all people are invited into God's kingdom. That's a pretty good thing, isn't it? Everybody. That means tall people and short people, people of all different colors, people who live here, people who live far away. Everybody gets to go into God's kingdom. That's a wonderful thing. God loves us so much. And so that's what we're thinking about today, and that's what I was teaching you with these crayons, is that we might not want some of these, but God likes everybody and loves everybody, and that means not just me, but you both as well, and your brother and your sister, and even all these people out here. God loves every one of them, and then people who even aren't out here, God loves them too, everywhere we go. So that's what we're remembering today, is that God loves us all and invites us all to be together. All right, let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving us all. Help us to welcome all other people into the kingdom with us. Amen. All right, go in peace and serve the Lord. Be to God.
A reading from Isaiah. O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name. For you have done wonderful things, plans formed of old, faithful, and sure. For you have made the city a heap, the fortified city a ruin. The palace of aliens is a city no more. It will never be rebuilt. Therefore, strong peoples will glorify you. Cities of ruthless nations will fear you, for you have been a refuge to the poor, a refuge to the needy in their distress, a shelter from the rainstorm and a shade from the heat, when the blast of the ruthless was like a winter rainstorm. The noise of aliens like heat in a dry place. You subdued the heat with the shade of clouds. The song of the ruthless was stilled. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-aged wines strained clear. And he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the sheet that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces. And the disgrace of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Oh,
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Once more, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding banquet, but they would not come. Again, he sent other slaves, saying, 'Tell those who have been invited, look, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they made light of it and went away, one to his own farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his slaves, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then he said to his slaves, 'The wedding is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go, therefore, into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding.' Those slaves went out into the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing a wedding robe. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding robe?' And he was speechless. And then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind him hand and foot and throw him out into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.' The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Good morning. It is so good to see all of you, and it's good to have everyone who's joining us online. I remember as a kid getting so excited when a friend would give me a little white envelope that contained a pink card. Those store-bought cards would say, "Happy Birthday," written in colorful letters at the top. And underneath it would let you know, it's a party. The who, what, when, where were all filled out. And you could tell by the handwriting if it was my friend that filled it out or if her mom helped out. And at the bottom, there was always a phone number to RSVP to the party. I was a child of the 80s, so there wasn't email quite yet. Invitations have taken different shapes and attributes, though. Today, there's Facebook events where you can see the details and respond online. There are websites like Eventbrite that work with invitations of a much larger scale. But it's still nice to see the thick envelopes of wedding invitations come in the mail. The neatly written addresses, meticulously packed envelopes with the printed invitation, the RSVP card, and the return envelope. But in Jesus' day, the invitations came in person. The person themselves would come by to make the invitation, or they would send a family member or a servant. And I wonder, what would it feel like to be invited to a wedding banquet like the one we read about in the book of Matthew today? The king's banquet. That would be special enough. But this one, this is one step further. It's the king's banquet celebrating the marriage of his son. And it was an honor to be invited to this event. In those days, honor was the most important aspect of social life. Those lower on the ladder honored those higher on the ladder, and no one was higher on the ladder than the king. And if the king sent you an invitation, you honored the king by attending that event. Period. To not do so would be a blatant disrespect to the king and his household. And here we have Jesus telling a story of a king and his banquet. As we read this parable, though, we have to be really honest with ourselves and with what we're reading. If taken at face value, it's absurd. And yet, there are strains of truth and grace that are woven throughout this story. We have to remember that all of the stories Jesus told were carried on in oral tradition for decades before they were written down into the Gospels that we have now. Also, these Gospel writers had their own stories of society and culture swirling around them and a particular audience in mind. So with that stage set, let's look a little closer at our parable. This is a story. Jesus lets his hearers know that it may be compared to the kingdom of heaven. The king has a wedding banquet for his son, and the king's servants go out into the city to call those who have been invited to the banquet. But they didn't come. Huh. Not too smart on their part. The king is really powerful. So the servants, they go out again. They tell the people what's on the menu and that it's all ready and waiting for them. And this time the invited guests laugh at the invitation. And they go back to their jobs and everyday lives. Some of the invited guests decided to kill the servants that were delivering the message. Let's pause there. I said earlier that at face value, parts of the story were absurd. The guests kill the servants that have invited them to a feast. When we take that at face value, it doesn't make sense. And the next portion isn't much better. The king sent troops to kill the murderers and burn the city. But wait, he's the king. Is this his city? A simple invitation to a wedding banquet with free food has turned into murder and burning down the city. So the king still has this banquet. The servants that are still alive go out and gather anyone and everyone from the streets, both the good and the bad. So we're talking anyone on the streets. Business owners and beggars, children and the elderly, basket weavers and prostitutes, everyone. And during all of this, the banquet is still ready. So they must have had some extra special awesome Sterno cans and chafing dishes or something. But like I said, earlier parts of the story, somewhat absurd. So the king comes in to see the guests filling the hall and celebrating the marriage of his son, but someone is sticking out because he isn't wearing a wedding robe. When asked about this, the man is speechless. And the king doesn't just kick him out of the party. Nope. He has him bound hand and foot and cast into the darkness. Oh, no, wait. Cast into the outer darkness. And what happens in the outer darkness? Weeping and gnashing of teeth. And while that could be the end, there's one more confusing line to end this parable. Many are called, but few are chosen. What? What does that even mean? Later on, we can all go talk to Pastor Gary about that because I think he has a pretty good answer. But we're going to be called, but then what, we don't make the cut or something? What does that mean? And if you don't know exactly what to make of all of this parable, it's okay. I don't either. There are parts that go against the loving, caring, compassionate, grace, and mercy-filled God that I know, that I've experienced God to be, and that other scripture describes. But that doesn't mean that we should just skip over all of these challenging passages. We have to deal with those too. There are some Bible scholars that think that this parable is actually two or three parables that are all wrapped up and smushed into one. Also, many theologians think that the author wrote down this parable of Jesus, but also played into his audience a bit. Most people who heard this piece of scripture back when it was originally written would know to process it as an allegory. God is the great inviter, but God and Jesus are rejected. So God widens the invitation to include Gentiles and all others as well. And it's in that wider invitation that is the truth and the grace that is woven into this story. The king does not simply give up on the banquet. The king widens the scope of those he invites. God does not simply give up on the love and grace that God has for creation. God makes sure that the invitation into relationship is cast far and wide. God's invitation is out there for each of us and every one of us. But what does that mean? What does that look like? It's an invitation to live as Jesus lived. It's an invitation into the sacredness of everyday life. Jesus invited people to live in relationship with him. We live like Jesus when we invite others into our lives, when we deeply care for those that are around us. Jesus told stories. We live like Jesus when we tell others stories of Jesus and the love God has for all of creation, when we share the overarching story of creation, sin, reconciliation, and redemption. Jesus went to where people are. Jesus was in the synagogues, but Jesus was also out among the tombs healing lepers. Jesus was in Jerusalem, but he also went out into Samaria. And when we visit those experiencing homelessness out on the streets, we live like Jesus when he went to go where the people are. When we serve in the soup kitchens that feed the hungry, but when we also sit down and share a meal with them. When we visit those in prison, in the hospital, and those that are homebound. Jesus broke down barriers, too. He hung out with sinners and talked with the Samaritan woman at the well. We live like Jesus when we tear down barriers that keep us from other people. When we welcome refugees and immigrants, when we work to understand the struggles of people of different races, cultures, and religions. Jesus loved people. He refused to pass judgment on an adulterous woman. He gathered little children around him. He ate with tax collectors and sinners. We live like Jesus when we seek relationships with people instead of judgment, when we look to be in community with those that are vulnerable in our society, when we seek justice for the oppressed. This is what we're invited to. It's not a card in the mail. It's not a notification on Facebook. It's a constant beckoning from the creator of the universe. God invites us to the kingdom of heaven that is already, but not yet. Jesus shows the way. We're called to imitate him. And the Holy Spirit invites us to see the sacred in the ordinary. And we can never be the same. Amen.
rise as you are able. Gathered as God's people, we confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. God of all, you have called us and you have made us yours. Being in your family means so much to us, Lord God. We feel you near. We feel the nearness of each other in love, and it fills our lives with celebration and joy. Walk before us and with us, O God, that we might always walk in your ways. Lord, in your mercy, strengthen our faith now, living Savior. In a world that so often seeks to pull us away from you, draw us close. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, that our faith lives and breathes in us. Lord, in your mercy. Loving Prince of Peace, bring your peace among us. May peace thrive between us and our many conflicts with each other. May peace grow within us as we struggle with our worries and fears. Bless us with your love that we might truly be your family all over the world. Lord, in your mercy. Great God of hope, bring your hope to the many in need or in hunger or in loneliness or sorrow. Give us your comfort, your care, and your help. Show us your presence in our lives always. Bless all your people, O God, and especially those whom we remember before you. Lord, in your mercy, saving servant, reach out through us to each other. You have blessed us richly and have called us to be a blessing to others. Invite us to invite others to you. Use our hands as your hands. Fill us with fervent compassion and love, that we may live as your children always. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. We give you thanks, gracious God, that you have once again fed us with food beyond compare, the body and blood of Christ. Lead us from this place, nourished and forgiven, into your beloved vineyard to wipe away the tears of all who hunger and thirst, guided by the example of the same Jesus Christ, and led by the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.